This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, you're listening to Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. Space scientists tell us that solar storms are on the rise and can affect satellite-dependent technologies like GPS and ADS-B. Our own experience tells us that we're already relying heavily on some of those technologies, and the FAA's next-gen plans say we're soon going to be relying on them a whole lot more. We're speaking today with Joseph Kuntjes, a space scientist at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Space Weather Prediction Center, to find out what all that means to you. Joe, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome, Glenn.
Now, you work with users, customers, and stakeholders to define and understand their space weather needs, right?
That's correct.
Well, let's start with a broad question, and then we'll dig into specifics. What do solar storms have to do with satellite-based technologies like GPS and satellite-based services? What, in theory, do we as pilots have to worry about?
Well, the quick answer to that, Glenn, is that solar storms cause position errors and even problems acquiring the signal from GPS and satellite-based services. And maybe to draw an analogy to the theory behind it, here in the Rocky Mountains, fly fishing is a really popular sport. And if you can imagine yourself being a rainbow trout down in Boulder Creek looking up for something to eat, that's a little bit like a GPS receiver on an airplane looking back at the satellite and trying to find the signal and to position itself. And there are a couple of things that come into play with my friend the trout. One is the depth of the water, and the second is the wave action and the turbulence in the stream. And in a similar way, the thickness of the ionosphere, the intervening layer between the airplane and the GPS satellite, is full of electrons. And these electrons cause delays to the GPS signal. And almost worse than that, the wave action in the ionosphere can make the signal totally unavailable at times. And it's a combination of both of those things, both the increased errors as well as the unavailability, that really create problems for users of satellite-based navigation services.
How familiar are you with the FAA's, what they're calling next-gen, plans to implement satellite-based ADS-B or automatic dependent surveillance broadcast systems as a keystone of future commercial air navigation?
We've been involved with the FAA in the planning for, you know, the necessary services to support NextGen. And I know that ADS-B fundamentally depends on GPS or satellite navigation services. And it's part of the equation, if you will, trying to understand what the error sources and the hard times for satellite navigation in regards to ADS-B might be.
So aside from the theoretical, is there any evidence that suggests we as pilots face a real threat as we trend more toward satellite-based technologies? Can these storms really affect the systems we use, like GPS or WAAS or ADS-B, for example?
Yeah, they really can. And let me just give you a short history of the experience with satellite navigation as far as aviation. Back in May of 2000, the Department of Defense turned off selective availability, which meant for the first time, users of single-frequency GPS could see the true errors that were caused by space weather. Shortly after that, in the summer of 2000, in July, there was a solar flare coronal mass ejection, an eruption from the sun that very much disturbed the ionosphere. And a university group in Minnesota had an experiment going on to watch for induced errors on GPS. And they saw for a very good GPS receiver, single-frequency receiver, there were errors to the tune of about 20 meters that were seen that were totally unexpected from the point of view that they were caused by these free electrons in the ionosphere, but there were no other signals in looking at the output of that receiver that there was anything wrong in terms of the ability to receive satellite transmissions and so on. In 2003, there was another solar flare coronal mass ejection episode, the so-called Halloween storms, in the fall of 2003. And at that point, the FAA's WAAS system was up and running, and they found it difficult, also to do what they wanted to do. And there was a couple of day period in October on the night on the 29th and the 30th of 2003, where the WAAS, the abilities of the WAAS were curtailed because some of the error margins were exceeded. For example, precision approach activities using the WAAS could not be held then because the errors just couldn't be bounded. And there are more examples since then. In 2006, there was another big episode of space weather in December. And even more recently, earlier this year, there was an issue with a satellite, one of the links of the WAAS system that sends the signal back down for use by aviators, malfunctioned, and which we think was caused in part by space weather.
So even though GPS technology is relatively new in aviation, we do have a history with it. Did we learn anything from that history? Do we have new safety measures that have been applied to safeguard the integrity of our systems? How do we defend against solar storms?
Well, there are a couple ways to do it. One way, and the FAA has done this since the Halloween storms of 2003, they bolstered their WAAS network. They have more ground stations. They have better capabilities to capture what the ionosphere is doing. And I think a lot of that activity was fueled by the findings that they saw during the Halloween storms. There are other measures on the plate to improve the signal structure of GPS. The new L2C signal, which is starting to see, and actually there are a number of satellites that have L2C now, to enable the civilian community to have dual frequency capability. And even recently, the first Block 2F satellite, or one of the first, was launched with the L5 capability. The providers, the FAA and others, have recognized that now, given the maturity of the GPS constellation and the experience through the last solar maximum, the single largest error source is understanding the ionosphere and capturing the space weather impacts. So there's a recognition of this being a big problem, if not the main problem, and there are engineering solutions underway to try to fix it. On our side of it, in the Space Weather Prediction Center, we try to predict from the sun the eruptions and the disturbances that cause and can cause, you know, problems with GPS. So I think improvements on the predictive side, and that's well within our corporate viewpoint, as well as engineering, you know, solutions as such as they can be, will enable, you know, the new uses of GPS to be better than they have been in the past.
Well, so if prediction is a big part of it, how much advance warning do we generally have when a storm pops up?
We're trying to give a few days of warning as we watch the ejecta come off the sun with new models and new data that's available to us now. We think that we can provide a couple of days warning of a ionospheric storm, and we're hoping that with more science and more modeling, we can actually say where on Earth the impacts will be the greatest.
Well, let's sidestep for a second on that note. What technologies are safe? Are ground-based radio systems like VORs equally impacted by the storms or no?
Well, VOR, you know, is pretty much a line-of-sight system at about 100 megahertz, I believe. And the sun does radiate at that frequency when it erupts at times. But my experience has been I haven't heard any issues with VOR when you have solar storms.
For those technologies that are affected, again, what determines how much they're affected and what's our best current defense against a severe solar storm today?
Well, the how much is kind of a function of what they're trying to do. For the simplest use of GPS, maybe a hiker up in the mountains or something that, you know, the user is fairly stationary and not terribly demanding, a lot of the solar storms will pretty much go unnoticed. For the higher precision applications or in a dynamic platform and like an airplane, for example, there are some questions about, you know, how much can they stand if they start to lose lock on certain satellites, for example, and you know, outages of that kind. I think that's part of the open question right now is as the engineering improvements come down the line, and especially as far as the signal improvements, we have to try to clarify as best we can what those impacts are going to be.
So if we boil it down to the basics, what's in our future as it sits today? If one of these big storms does hit, how do you see it playing out? How do you expect our, and I guess beyond that, how do you expect our defenses to evolve?
Well, it is going to happen because the solar cycle is ramping up, and there's no reason that we are going to have a different solar cycle from the point of view that we won't get solar storms. We are going to get solar storms. They are going to affect satellite navigation. And I think the answer is situational awareness by the users, that they know the conditions are going on that might be a problem for them, and also science and modeling to try to capture as best we can the weak spots, the soft spots in terms of the GPS system and the way the global navigation system is used and where the biggest vulnerabilities might be. And I think it's also good to have a fallback. Just like any navigation system, you want to have a plan B. And if you can't do satellite navigation, you want to have inertial, for example, or fallback to VOR or DME or something like that, that has pretty, different sets of failure modes that don't seem to be very much affected by space weather.
So on the pilot's end, it's going to be redundant systems. It's going to be communication so that they know to expect certain deviations or less reliability from their GPS systems and just work around it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's a tractable problem that if you are prudent and you pay close attention to the weather such as it comes down, both the weather that you can see and the weather that you can't see very well, the space weather, you can fly safely and go about your business.
Do you know if the FAA has any plans to distribute warnings? Do they have systems in place now that would distribute warnings in the form of maybe a NOTAM to let pilots know that there is a solar event going on that will degrade their GPS?
Well, that's a good point, because we've had good discussions with our partner center, the Aviation Weather Center in Kansas City, working with the FAA to define good space weather products that are appropriate for aviation. And a SIGMET or a NOTAM actually are two of the things that have been mentioned. There has been, in the past solar maximum, NOTAMs were used to make, you know, advisories of this.
Joe, it's going to be some interesting stuff going forward. We've been speaking with Joe Kunchis, a space scientist at NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center. To follow up on your own or to bolster your pre-flight planning rituals, visit spaceweather.gov or the Aviation Weather Center at aviationweather.gov. I'm Glenn Pugh for avweb.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.